Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. To those of us who remember Famous Bar, we are likely to most remember Christmas windows and onion soup. But it's much more than that, as we'll find out just a little bit later. But first, the homicide rate in St. Louis shows the city is having a very bad year. We're well above last year at 140+. Is this an anomaly, or is the city becoming a more violent place? We're talking about that today with University of Missouri St. Louis criminologist Rick Rosenfeld, who specializes in crime trends. Rick is also an analyst consultant for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. Rick, nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Don.
We're always talking about tough numbers, it seems, whenever you right. are with us. And this is a pretty bad number for St. Louis.
It is. Normally, a year-to-year change I wouldn't attribute a great deal of significance to because, as you mentioned, it might be an anomaly. But when we're at 148 homicides as of right now, that's substantially up over last year, 30% or more up over last year. And anomalous or not, that kind of increase needs to be investigated.
What does it mean in your mind?
Well, it's difficult to say, but I will say that there is an idea out there in the police department and certainly in the broader community that the crime spike, and it's not just homicide we've seen in the city, is the result in some way of the events in Ferguson. The Michael Brown shooting in early August and then the grand jury decision. So I've looked at that hypothesis and I've compared crime in the city on a month-by-month basis this year compared to last year through the end of November, the last full month. And what I found was this. In the case of homicide, the topic we're discussing today, I don't see a direct effect of the Ferguson events. Homicide has been up in the city over last year since early in the summer, well before the Michael Brown shooting. For other violent crime, the rate of increase has itself increased since early August, and so some of that increase may be attributable to the Ferguson events. But the increase in crime in the city that I think quite clearly is related to those events is property crime. Larceny, burglary, motor vehicle theft, they all started tracking upwards in the month of August and have gone up since.
Just to be clear on this, though, Rick, I saw a graph that you had used for mm-hmm. some presentation. And it showed the homicide rate spike in the spring, March and April,
yes.
I believe, but then down
Then
up again in August. And, of course, the shooting was August 9th.
Right. Actually, earlier in the year, you're right, late winter, early spring, our homicides were well above where they were last year. And then they came down a bit. And then beginning June into July, they started back up again. So that spike, the more recent spike, did occur prior to the Michael Brown killing.
Why would any of these things be related to the Michael Brown killing?
Right. There are two interpretations. One is that criminals have become, as some people put it, emboldened. Mm-hmm. That is, perhaps angrier, perhaps assuming the police are busy monitoring protest activity and therefore more likely to commit crime. That's one possibility. The other is that precisely because of the protest activity, police in the city have been pulled off their normal patrol routines, less able to do so-called proactive policing, where they really do target crime hotspots, and that can be quite successful. But as they've monitored and had to deal with protest activity, normal routines have been disrupted. And that removes the police from areas where crime is occurring. My sense is it's that latter interpretation that's probably more accurate. But again, I would emphasize probably not for homicide, which has been spiking upwards since early summer.
I know that your focus is on city numbers.
Yes.
Do you have any sense of St. Louis County and whether or not that reflects anything?
St. Louis County is not up to the degree the city is. And one would expect comparable increases in St. Louis County if Ferguson were
exactly.
the trigger, so-called. Yeah. No, this seems to be specific to the city. I don't see it in cities I usually compare St. Louis to, Kansas City, Memphis, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Cincinnati. Few of those places have seen increases, but none as sizable as the homicide increase in St. Louis. That suggests it's local conditions that are driving the rate upward. My own view is it probably, in part, has to do with a flare-up in drug market activity and disputes. That kind of activity can flare up, and it cools down just as rapidly. So if that's one of the important determinants, I would not expect this homicide increase to persist much longer.
You mentioned a couple of other parts of the Midwest. Any indication that the same thing is going on beyond this part of the country?
Beyond this part of the country, no. It really varies by city by city. Some cities are up over last year. Some are down. I'm not aware of any city that has had a homicide spike quite as sizable as ours.
When we have talked in the past about such things, you've always put focus on certain neighborhoods, certain parts of St. Louis where the crime is particularly high. Is that particular part of the trend still evident?
Yes, it is. And I think this is an important takeaway for your listeners. It is not the case that the city as a whole is experiencing a homicide increase over last year. The great majority of neighborhoods in the city have had no increase over last year because they had no homicides last year and they have had none this year. A handful of neighborhoods, really three to four or more, account for the bulk of the increase over last year. One of those neighborhoods is Wells Goodville. Another is Lewis Place. There are a few other neighborhoods concentrated on the north side of the city where crime rates are typically quite high, and those neighborhoods account for the bulk of the increase over last year in homicide. But I should say there are other north side neighborhoods that have seen homicide declines since last year. So it really, I don't want to paint too broad a brush here over the north side of St. Louis. It really is a matter of what's happening in specific neighborhoods.
And these specific neighborhoods where the rate is high, are they also associated with a particular level of drug problem?
Yes.
Yes, so that, there's your hypothesis right there.
Yeah. Now, evaluate that one systematically, I have to wait till the end of the year and look back at homicide case files. But that would be my sense of at least one of the important determinants of the increase over last year.
I know you're an advocate for hotspot policing and actually one of the architects, if I remember correctly, of that particular tactic. And that is still being employed by the city police department. Does that mean it's really not being effective in these neighborhoods we're talking about?
What it means is that the police department has not, over the last several months, has not been able to engage in systematic proactive policing. Hotspots is the leading proactive strategy the department uses, and indeed many departments across the country. But when officers are pulled off their normal routines, they can engage in that kind of activity. And I think that is one reason why we've seen some crime increase over the last several months.
Yeah. What are you doing with hotspot policing? Just flooding these areas with additional officers?
Yeah. Flooding, that does happen on occasion. You may recall last year in the College Hill neighborhood, there was in fact actually a mini command center was established in that neighborhood. And that was, I think, you know, really flooding the area with police officers. But typically hotspots policing doesn't require throwing the kitchen sink at a particular area. What it requires is elevated patrols, officers in and out of the area so that the perception begins to spread on the streets that a cop could be around the corner at any minute. That's what the police try to accomplish in a hotspot strategy.
Higher visibility.
Yes.
Higher visibility. And the chief, from what I've been reading lately, is hopeful of adding, I think the number is 116 more officers to the force.
Correct.
Where does that stand right now?
It's my understanding is that part of that may be attached to a bond issue. The other part is part of the budget process. And, Don, you probably know as much about the budget process as I do.
which is not very much at this particular point.
I will say I'm very, very hopeful that the chief gets those additional officers. They're very badly needed.
And how would they be utilized? Just blended right in with what's already there?
Yeah. There in police districts across the city, the number of officers kind of typically attached to the district is down. First of all, just the total number is down. And then when you count officers on sick leave, officers injured, the force in particular areas has really been substantially depleted and needs to be replenished quickly.
Our guest on this segment is Rick Rosenfeld. He's a professor of criminology at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. We're talking about crime in the city, specifically focusing on homicide. And homicides, as you've been hearing, are up dramatically in the city of St. Louis over this time last year by about 30%, Rick tells us. Welcome back. Continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or send a tweet at STL to STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Rick Rosenfeld. Rick, we've mentioned the number here at 148, number of homicides in St. Louis, 148 this year, up 30%. It's bad, but we've certainly had worse years.
Oh, we have. In the early 1990s, the city was running about 260 to 270 homicides for a couple of years. Now, the city was somewhat larger then, but the rate of homicide in those days was considerably higher than it is now. Right now, we're running at a number of homicides that we haven't seen since about 2006.
2006. And yeah. As you say, before that, it was considerably more.
Correct.
There's another element that I've seen in the news recently with regard to what the St. Louis PD is doing. And that is that more emphasis is going to be put on parents. Parents are going to be warned when their teens are involved in street crimes.
Right. Parents and other adults with some connection to the child. Captain Howard, who's the commander of the district that encompasses downtown and downtown west, was quoted as indicating that's a strategy being used there. And my understanding is elsewhere in the city. It's certainly worth a try.
We mentioned a moment ago that we've seen worse numbers in our history with regard to homicides. Let's take a call from Danny in Jefferson City, who now is also looking back. Danny, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Well, I grew up in the 70s on the north side, you know, St. Louis.
Yes? Go ahead.
Yeah, I grew up in the 70s on the north side of St. Louis, and the crime rate was terrible back then. We couldn't go anywhere. There was violence almost every night. I know Freddie got shot. But anyway, what I'm talking about is today it seems worse because people get shot every day of the week in St. Louis.
Thanks, Danny. We'll respond to that.
It doesn't seem like it's getting much reaction from anyone compared to the day and then.
All right, Danny, thank you.
You're right on both counts. Back in the 70s, crime was spiking in the city of St. Louis. Each year saw crime rates higher than the year before during that period. And it has spiked again over the last year, but we're not back to where we were at the peak, certainly, which is the early 1990s in St. Louis. And I don't suspect we will get back there.
Is that because of a worse kind of drug problem, or is the have the police become more efficient and effective since then?
I think both. Mm-hmm. In the late 80s through the early 90s, St. Louis, like most other large cities in the United States, was undergoing enormous increases in violence associated with the street marketing of crack cocaine. We've mm-hmm. talked about that before on this program. That problem has subsided substantially. There's still a great deal of drug trafficking, drug street level as well, marketing in St. Louis, not associated, though, with the critically high levels of violence that we saw back then. Though I should mention again that flare-ups in the drug market involving disputes between sellers and buyers or between sellers over particular territory or over money Those flare-ups can generate increases in violent crime, including homicide.
We had a longtime agent for the DEA on the program the other day, and he was very effective working undercover for many years. And he says that this ISIS organization, operating now in the Middle East, very clearly is involved in production of methamphetamine, and that we're likely to see it coming from that part of the world, as well as from Mexico and North Korea in the not-too-distant future.
The city of St. Louis, like other large cities, does have a methamphetamine problem, but I don't see that as directly related to the crime spike we've seen over the last year.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. We'll bring in Dave. He's on a cell. Go ahead, Dave. Hope you're not driving.
Yes. I was curious, with the shift of officers from all jurisdictions in to cover the Ferguson situation, would that be what's created a lot of opportunity for rise in crime in other areas?
Yes. I think that's particularly true with respect to property crime in the city. There's no question in my mind that property crime rates have increased since the Michael Brown killing. They've continued to increase over the last several months. And the timing of that increase is almost exactly what one would expect if officers are being pulled off normal patrol operations to deal with protest activity associated with the Ferguson events.
Dave, thank you for the call. Let's take a call from Jay in Normandy. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Has the legislature, the Missouri legislature's love affair with promoting guns and this open carry and all the things that they've done and the whole gun culture that we have, has that added to this this terrible shooting rate? And I understand from hearing ER docs that if it wasn't for better trauma care, the deaths would be much, much higher. And then lastly, I commute a lot of times to the Fox Theater and Forest Park with History Museum programs at night or whatever. And I'm on a lot of roads like Grand Avenue coming from up around Hall Street or Grand, Kings Highway, Kinlan, to Skinker. Am I taking a big risk there, please? Thanks.
Let me deal with the latter point first. I cannot say that you're taking zero risk by driving on any of the roadways in the St. Louis region. But if you're referring specifically to the risk from violent crime, I would say your risk is relatively low. Obviously, you have to be careful after hours. St. Louis is a big city. Big cities have their crime problems. But I should say that in general, victims of homicide and other serious violent crime tend to be themselves pretty heavily involved in criminal activity. These are events that typically involve two people, not just one, with extensive criminal records. And so the ordinary citizen going about his or her business, while we always have to be watchful and mindful of our surroundings, is not at a high risk of certainly of homicide.
I know, Rick, that one of the things that you talk about and want people to be aware of is black-on-black crime mm-hmm. in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have pointed to the racial component in some of the mm-hmm. more celebrated shootings and crimes that we've had recently. But the real issue is here, is it not?
In St. Louis, the typical victim and the typical offender of homicide are blacks, males, young black males. And as I just said, more often than not, heavily involved in criminal activity. That is the nut that needs to be cracked if we are going to make a substantial dent in our homicide problem. Having said that, real progress has been made. For example, since the early 90s, where homicide rates and other crime rates were considerably higher than they are now in the city, since then, arrests for African Americans for the crime of homicide and all violent crime has gone down by 50% to 60%, and those are rates. So just we're counting for the decline in the population of the city. So progress has been made. We need to keep pushing that ball forward.
We only have a minute left. You say it's a tough nut to crack. How do we crack it?
We crack it by smarter policing, by making sure that the police pay attention to their relationship with the community and be as transparent as possible with respect to the activities they're engaged in to reduce crime. And ultimately, we have to crack it by improving conditions of life for persons who live in disadvantaged communities in St. Louis.
We just have a few seconds left. I can't take Tamara's call, but she's asking, and I'll hope for a quick response, about the effect of street closures on crime. Is it does it help?
I think it helps in particular cases. I don't think one can attribute overall increases or declines in crime in the city to street closures per se. In particular neighborhoods, it can help.
All right. Well, Rick Rosenfeld, I want to thank you for being with us and helping us make some sense out of these numbers. They're disturbing, of course, not as bad as they have been in the past, hopefully better in the future. Rick Rosenfeld, University of Missouri at St. Louis Criminology Department, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Don.
Coming up, Famous Bar and a trip down memory lane. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.